ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Forty-five. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, sixth canto, chapter 6, text 45. Tam vavrire suragana svasriyam dvishatam api vimatena parityaktah guruna angirasena yat. Tam vavrire suragana. Tam vavrire suragana. Svasriyam dvishatam api. Vimatena parityakta. Guru Nangirasena Yat Tam Vavrire Suragana Svasriyam Dvishatam Api Vimatena Parityakta Guru Nangirasena Yat. Vaishnavis. Tam, him, Vishvarupa, Vavrire, accepted as a priest, Suragana, the demigods, Svasriyam, the son of a daughter, Dvishatam, of the inimical demons, Api, although Vimatena, being disrespected. Parityaktaha, who were given up. Guruna, by their spiritual master. Angirasena, Brihaspati, yat, since. Translation: although Vishvarupa was the son of the daughter of their eternal enemies, the demons, the demigods accepted him as their priest in accordance with the order of Brahma when they were abandoned by their spiritual master Brihaspati, whom they had disrespected. So we have to, there's no purport, we have to read. I think I start reading from 40. I was being told from 24, which means I would sit here for half an hour just reading the verses. So I just start reading from text 40. Translation: Sangya, the wife of Vivasvan, the sun god, gave her birth to the Manu named Shraddhadeva. And the same fortunate wife also gave birth to the twins Yamaraj and the river Yamuna. Then, while wandering on the earth in the form of a mare, Sangya gave birth to the Ashwini Kumaras. Text 41. Chaya, another wife of the sun god, begot two sons named Shanaishara and Savarni Manu, and one daughter, Tapati, who married Sambarana. Text 42. From the womb of Matika, the wife of Ayama, were born many learned scholars. Among them, Lord Brahma created the human species, which are endowed with an aptitude for self-examination. Text 43. Pusha had no sons. When Lord Shiva was angry at Daksha, Pusha had laughed at Lord Shiva and shown his teeth. Therefore, he lost his teeth and had to live by eating only ground flour. Hari Bol. Text 44. Ratchana, the daughter of the Daityas, became the wife of Prajapati Tvashta. By his semen, he begot in her womb two very powerful sons named Shanivesha and Vishvarupa. And again, the text today. Tam vabrire suragana svasriyam dvishatam api vimatena parityakta gurunang girasena yata. Translation: although Vishvarupa was the son of the daughter of their eternal enemies, the demons, the demigods accepted him as their priest in accordance with the order of Brahma when they were abandoned by their spiritual master Brihaspati, whom they had disrespected. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakya Shakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadama Hiyam Tadati Svapadantikam Nama Om Vishwadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pashtajadeshatayane Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I would like to speak a little bit on that particular verse. where it has been mentioned that Lord Brahma created the human species. And they have the aptitude for self-examination. And that also means self-searching. The special feature of civilized human beings. Just the other day I listened to a lecture by Srila Prabhupada, and he explained that there are 400,000 human species, and among those, only 20% are civilized. 80% not civilized. So we are lucky. We belong to those, hopefully, 20%. And these civilized human beings have the aptitude of a self-examination. Who am I? What's the purpose of life? What is this world? What am I doing? Is it good? Is it bad? That's a definition of a self-examination, that to examine one's behavior and beliefs, whether they are good or bad. Human beings have a thoughtful mind. They have the inclination to think about the purpose of life. Unlike most of the demigods, as we learn from the Srimad Bhagavatam, are absorbed in living out their punya, pious activities, pious karma. Usually they are absorbed in the heavenly pleasures. But the human beings are fortunate in one sense, because they have to experience sufficient suffering, the other side of the coin of material pleasure. And in this way, they have the tendency to become thoughtful. When everything is all right, we don't think much. Everything is fine, I'm enjoying. But as soon as there's some trouble, some difficulties, we become thoughtful. We begin to think. So that's why it is elsewhere described in the Srimad Bhagavatam that this Kali Yuga, although such a degraded age, is still, it is so easy for the human beings on this earthly planet, in this age of Kali, to take to the process of self-realization, attaining the perfection of life, simply by chanting Hare Krishna. And the demigods are waiting in a queue to take birth as human beings in this age of Kali, because it is such a simple process. Like we can practically see when we sit together chanting Hare Krishna, such a simple, easy process, despite our own cultural backgrounds, nationality, the different views we might have on certain things, still, we all sit together and chant Hare Krishna. Such a wonderful process. There's one quotation from Bill Wilson, the co-founder of Alcoholics Anonymous. He said, "For the wise have always known that no one can make much of his life until self-searching has become a regular habit." And George Bernard Shaw, famous Irish author, playwright, he mentioned that most people only think once or twice in a year. And he said, "I've made an international reputation for myself by thinking once or twice a week." Very wise. Now, by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, now that shows the difference between mundane thinkers, mundane philosophers, and Srila Prabhupada. By reading Srila Prabhupada's books, we begin to think every moment. Every day, every moment in our life, we begin to think. Of course, it's not just a matter of quantity. The question is, what do you think about? We might think a lot, but what do we think about? Now, the qualities of Srila Prabhupada's books are so sublime that we think about the perfection of life, we think about Krishna every moment. At least we should. That shows the potency of Srila Prabhupada's books. It turns people into not thinking once or twice in a year, but every moment thinking about Krishna, thinking about what's the purpose of life, surrendering to Krishna, devotional service. It's so wonderful. With many people in modern society, what many people in modern society are not is that their way of life, the way they're living, their values of life, view of life, it is all being influenced by a previous Greek in the Western world, Greek philosophers. We have one, for example, Epicurus, 270 BC. He was a Greek philosopher who believed that the world is a random combination of atoms and that sense pleasure is the highest good. It's exactly what the people in the Western world and modern society think. It's all just a random, everything happens by random chance. Now we have the opportunity to enjoy, let's go for it. And death simply means, just like if you switch off the light, that's the meaning of death. You just move the switch, everything is done, finished, and there's no sentient perception at the time of death. Therefore, why be afraid of death? This was his philosophy. Death involves neither pleasure nor pain. This was his statement. So that's the hope people have in modern society. Death, there's neither pleasure nor pain. Everything is just finished. So what's the problem? But of course, Krishna, he instructs us in the Bhagavad Gita that jatasya hi dhruva mitryo dhruvam janma mritasya cha. It is not everything is finished at the time of death. The one who takes birth, he has to die. And one who dies, he has to take birth again if he does not become fully Krishna conscious. It's exactly the opposite. The life continues, life goes on. Therefore, naturally one should be afraid of death. That is natural. We don't have to visit psychiatrists to figure out why I'm afraid of death. It is normal, it is natural. Even an ant, an insect, you try to kill it, it is afraid. If it's natural, why is it afraid? It is good because then again, if we are afraid of death, again we begin to ask questions. What is this death? Why am I afraid of death? Questions are being asked. And again, this Greek philosopher, the view of the purpose of life is to make arrangements simply for temporary sense pleasures, which is done, as Srimad Bhagavatam instructs us, even by pigs and by dogs. And that's not really the purpose of life. It's a nice quotation. Aihishtam yat puna jamajayaya. When Maharaj Dasharath, he was being visited by Vishvamitra Muni. And this is the question a king asked the Muni. Are you successful in conquering over birth and death? This was his greeting question.
Not, you know, which airline did you take or from which direction you're coming and so many mundane related questions. This was the first question he asked. My dear sage, are you successful in conquering over birth and death? This used to be part of the Vedic culture, Vedic society. Such a high level awareness of life and existence. We learn from Prahlad Maharaj, this one verse, Dulabham Manusham Janma Tat Apyadruvam Artadam, that this human form of life is very rare. Hare Krishna. This human form of life is very rare. It is also temporary, just like any other species of life that cannot be avoided. But the special blessings of this human form of life is that we can take to devotional service and in this way conquer over birth and death. That's the glories of this human form of life. Now when I read these verses in this particular chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, we remember the other days, we heard about so many things, how different species of life were being created in the most amazing way. Here we have another example in the form of a mare, the Ashwini Kumaras born, generated. So then these questions come up, and how is that possible from a mare that, you know, Ashwini Kumaras took birth? How does it work? So many questions. But we know that these living entities are not normal living entities. They're empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if one is empowered by the Lord, what is impossible? Anything can be done. And then I was thinking that, you know, when we hear, when we read in Srimad Bhagavatam about the process of creation and maintenance of this universe, then one particular word comes to my mind. There's so much cooperation. A cooperation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All the major demigods, Lord Brahma, Lord Indra, Chandra and so on, they all cooperate in their particular service and tasks. They cooperate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If they do not, then we know what will happen. there will be great losses, embarrassment, as we learn from the pastimes of Lord Krishna with Lord Brahma, Lord Indra, and other powerful demigods. When they didn't want to cooperate with the Lord, then there was trouble. So the whole universe, it is designed in such a way that the empowered living entities, they perform their amazing, wonderful tasks in cooperation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I would like to talk a little bit about this important term, cooperation. So bear with me, it is like a short seminar. A seminar on cooperation. The topic of cooperation is of utmost importance because our various services, projects, in fact, the entire future of Srila Prabhupada's movement depends on that one term, cooperation. And Srila Prabhupada warned us in different ways that this movement for Krishna consciousness, ISKCON, will also be doomed if their members do not cooperate with each other. He wrote in one letter to one disciple, this cooperation is so essential, so important. Often people tend to think that cooperation is a one-sided affair. I'm cooperating, I'm always willing to cooperate, but the problem is, others don't want to cooperate with me. Or, that's the way I am, others have to get used to it. too common phrase we heard. So again, the point is, you know, cooperation. Teamwork is another term for cooperation. It means that people will try to cooperate using their individual skills and providing constructive feedback despite any personal conflict between individuals. The common goal is more important than individual disagreements, individual issues. There's one nice quotation from a psychologist, professor of ethical leadership, David Haight. The most powerful force ever known on this planet is human cooperation. A force for construction or destruction. Another British philosopher, nice quotation, the only thing that will redeem mankind is cooperation. Very nice quote. And of course, Panchatantra instructs us that cooperation among friends is vital to their survival. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he once wrote in one letter to one disciple, "For the sake of preaching, everyone must cooperate unconditionally." Letter by Srila Prabhupada to Tribhuvanath. "I'm also glad to note that a meeting of all the presidents was held just recently in order to unify the temples. That is the process. Unless we work cooperatively, how this movement will go on? So my request to you all is that you maintain that spirit of cooperation always and help me to deliver Lord Chaitanya's message all over the world." And we have a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam where Lord Vishnu, the praised, I can read that verse. "The Supreme Lord said, 'My dear sons of the king, I'm very much pleased by the friendly relationships among you. All of you are engaged in one occupation, devotional service. I'm so pleased with your mutual friendship that I wish you all good fortune. Now you may ask a benediction from me.'" And Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that since the sons of King Pachinabahishad were all united in Krishna consciousness, the Lord was very pleased with them. So just see how important cooperation is. Friendship, rendering service together, mutual cooperation, because it pleases. Why is it so important? It pleases the Supreme Lord. He's pleased by that. And of course, Srila Prabhupada is pleased. Srila Prabhupada continues in the purport, "This unity between individual souls is so strong within this material world that even in a society of Krishna consciousness, members sometimes appear disunited. Actually, in Krishna consciousness, there cannot be two opinions. There's only one goal, that is to serve Krishna to one's best ability. Those who are actually engaged in the service of the Lord cannot be disunited in any circumstance. This makes the Lord very happy and willing to award all kinds of benediction to his devotees, as indicated in this verse. We can see that the Lord is immediately prepared to award all benedictions to the sons of King Pachinabahishad." That's the end of the quotation from Srila Prabhupada's purport. So cooperation means that the overall common goal is more important than one's own opinion, one's own desire, one's own agenda. A person who thinks that his own opinion, his own agenda is more important than cooperation, then such a person is not willing to compromise. Of course, we should never compromise on fundamental principles, But details, no, we might compromise just for the sake of cooperation. I always give the same example. One devotee wants the window to be open. The other one closed. What's the compromise?
Get a sweater.
Huh?
Get a sweater.
That's one way, but then the other one will not be pleased. One is satisfied, the other one not.
Half open.
Yes, half open. Instead of closed or completely open, half open, that's a compromise. Half, half. But if one is not willing to compromise, if such a person cannot cooperate, not possible. And we had this, unfortunately, seen often. My way or highway, I just walk with my head through the walls, through the door. We have to be willing to compromise. Again, not on fundamental principles. And we cannot compromise on chanting 16 rounds. We must. That's a fundamental principle. No compromise. So certain things we can never compromise on. But so many other things we might have to compromise for the sake of unity and cooperation. In order to serve the seven purposes of ISKCON successfully, we need to cooperate. The first one of the seven purposes of Srila Prabhupada, he gave us, is the preaching of Krishna consciousness all over the world. Here we need to cooperate. Cannot be done single-handedly or with just a group of people, of devotees. We need to cooperate. In order to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's instruction to keep ISKCON alive, to maintain and expand the various international ISKCON projects, especially now we have the TOVP, Vedic Planetarium, is such a massive monument that can never be done single-handedly or with a small group, requires everyone to cooperate. We don't want to do anything what is called in Sanskrit apritak. Apritak means solitary, alone. But rather assisting and serving Srila Prabhupada in his mission in cooperation with each other. Some of us might think, I know Srila Prabhupada's instructions, I know the philosophy, I know. But can you also fulfill, carry out, put those instructions into the world of action? Yes, I'm setting the proper example. Now we heard these words. That is surely necessary for everyone. However, Srila Prabhupada gave us visions, goals and projects to accomplish. This cannot be done in isolation. Here we need to cooperate. Cooperation, unity in diversity, and love and trust, and sound organizational principles. This is also what Srila Prabhupada expected from us. And these principles will encourage a broad participation among all those who are connected with Srila Prabhupada's movement. Now, as more we are able to cooperate, as more people will feel encouraged, inspired to join this Krishna consciousness movement. Because it is inspiring. Just like an everyday example when devotees go on Harinam. Now, why people are so fascinated? Of course, our Vaishnava clothes, the way we look, and chanting the holy name. Of course, that is attractive. But another feature why people are so attracted is they see the cooperation between the devotees. They're dancing together, chanting together, playing instruments together. They see the spirit of doing things together in a wonderful way. Or if we have festivals, stage performances, public programs, The people can see, they feel attracted to people cooperating with each other, doing things together. And even being, you know, blissful about it. You can't do it out of duty if you're paid fine. So many companies, the companies and organizations, mundane organizations, they all cooperate fine. But most of them are not really blissful about it. It's a job. They're being paid for it. But devotees are blissful. They cooperate, they dance together, do things, service together, and they're blissful about it. This is what is attractive for people in general. There's one argument. By all good intentions to cooperate, still there are so many problems we have to solve, we cannot just ignore them. That's true. Let us solve them efficiently with a timeline attached to it. Do it efficiently, but do it quick. This we have seen in Srila Prabhupada's, during Srila Prabhupada's life when he was among us. Srila Prabhupada, he went for the perfection for Krishna, to do everything very, very efficiently. But at the same time, Prabhupada, he was fast, he was quick. He wanted everything done immediately. Otherwise, the danger is we might become too much distracted. This is actually one of Kali's allurements, fighting, quarrel, court cases, because that will distract us from continuing to spread Srila Prabhupada's movement, to preach. We will become distracted, more and more distracted. And at one point, preaching might stop because we're all busy, you know, having to deal with so many conflicts and problems, etc., etc. It is Kali's allurement. There's one nice story about the pheasants and a fox. There was a moonlight evening. Master Fox was taking his usual stroll in the woods. He saw a number of pheasants perched out of his reach on the limb of a tall tree. The sly fox soon found a bright patch of moonlight where the pheasants could see him clearly. He began wildly to dance, hopped up and down, etc. The pheasants stared giddily. They hardly dared blinking for fear of losing him out of their sight. He was shaking his bushy tail so that it seemed to throw out silver sparks in the moonlight. The pheasants became so dazed by watching him that they lost their hold on the limb, fell down one by one on the ground to the fox who devoured them all. Not nice story? coming. The purport is too much attention to a danger, to conflicts, to problems may cause us to fall victims to it. Very, very nice story. And we get the information from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita related to Gop Kumar when he entered Goloka Vrindavan. This is the first thing he noticed. How the Rajabasis cooperated with each other in their service to Krishna. Of course, their basis of cooperation is prema, pure love for Krishna. In this material world, the living entities are being forced to cooperate with material nature. The laws of material nature are being forced upon them. That's the basis of their cooperation. They're being forced by the laws of material nature. In the spiritual world, everything is based on cooperation, based on love for Krishna. And there's a nice quotation, we will come to an end. Gop Kumar experienced the unlimited variety of the Vrajavasis, the various relationships with Krishna, the variety of various services, their cooperation with each other, and the various manifestations of love for Krishna. He experienced that the driving force and foundational unity for all these varieties was Krishna Prema, pure love for Krishna. This love for Krishna is the unity of the wonderful, astounding variety on Goloka. Srila Prabhupada, he wrote in one letter, 1974, "I only want that all you, my disciples, always think of Krishna and never forget him for a moment." That, of course, it is impossible if there is no love for Krishna. This is what Srila Prabhupada wanted from all of us, to develop our love for Krishna. And then it will be able to cooperate. So Srila Prabhupada gave us ISKCON, which he said will be there in the spiritual world. He gave us a chance to cooperate with each other in devotional service, because this is what all the liberated souls do in the spiritual world. They all cooperate in serving and pleasing Lord Krishna. This is how bhakti and prema effectually manifest. By developing and nurturing our love for Srila Prabhupada and Krishna, by cooperating with each other, we gradually approach, step by step, more and more, that ISKCON in the spiritual world. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for your patience. I'm not sure whether I should take questions, because someone might raise the question, how did the mare look like? I don't know. Should I take questions, or what do you feel? Maybe one couple of questions, and then. And do we have questions? There's one. I cannot hear you. Here's the microphone. We don't want to mention internet now. We don't want to get into that. No, I got your point. Gop Kumar also received the instruction that he will only be able to enter Goloka Vrindavan by utmost humility. Utmost humility. Otherwise, it will not be possible to enter Goloka Vrindavan. So yes, we might have different opinions, they might be even strong. It is being expected from strong-headed leaders. They have opinions, strong opinions, but there must be humility. Humility means to be willing to sit together. You have a different opinion, I have a different opinion. Humility means that let us sit together, talk about it, let us discuss. And then find some compromise, some solution that we can combinedly go on serving Srila Prabhupada's mission. But that's not possible if there's no humility, pride. The pride makes everything so difficult, is it not? pride. If there's pride, difficult to even talk to a person who's just too proud. Because the pride, it is like a huge earplug or something. If you're proud, you're not able even to hear, to listen to someone else's opinion. Not possible. But if there's a little humility, some humbleness, then we are willing to sit down, let us discuss. And this is what Prabhupada expected from the leaders, that on a regular basis they should sit together, discuss issues, come to some conclusions, and then in a wonderful, inspiring way go on, serving Srila Prabhupada. So humility must be there. And how to develop humility? By following all the rules, regulations, our sadhana properly, chanting the holy name properly, listening. Like I'm hearing often about so many things about the holy name, what to do while chanting. But I hardly hear what Srila Prabhupada mentioned so many times, to hear, to listen. We hear about, you know, we have to chant with our heart, we have to do so many things. But what about listening? That's the process. That's the process. Simply listening to that sound vibration of the holy name. Because if there's attentive listening, then the holy name begins to act. And how does it act? It begins to purify the heart, purify the consciousness. And then the natural qualities of the soul will manifest. And one of the qualities of the soul is humility. Naturally, if one is Krishna conscious, there must be humility, because Krishna is so, he is so great, unlimited. All the qualities are existing in Krishna in fullness and perfection, unlimited depth. So just by meditating on Krishna, that humility will develop in a natural way, because we are so insignificant. So if there's some humility, everything is possible. As long as we are willing to sit together, there's always a hope. But once we refuse, then that's the danger. So I would like to stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol.